Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In a week where most of the cricket we've watched has secretly been soccer, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
But Russo has her pocket picked, and here's Sam Kerr. She's going to need some support. Kerr running at Bright. Kerr with a shot. Oh, I say, that's incredible!
All right, I think we fade the audio out there because the cheering goes on for about seven more minutes till England score and to retake the lead.
I also didn't realise that commentator who says there, Sam Kerr, she's going to need some support. Nah. Nope.
What an idiot of a commentator. You are here with Dan Libke and Kat Jones and Sam Kerr for another edition of Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
The Matilda's edition.
So, yeah, we did get on the Matilda's train, didn't we? I think we were mandated to do so by the government of Australia. Everybody got on board.
Yeah, well, the group stages did overlap with the Ashes. It was a very difficult period there to get involved in the early group stages. Thank goodness the finals were in a clear spot,
more or less,
for cricket.
Yep, so Australia won the quarterfinal on penalty shootouts, which was a tad nerve-wracking. And then, of course, that semi-final against England, which became the most watched television event in Australian history. So better than any episode of a country practice or... better than all these things.
How could it beat a country practice?
That's amazing, yeah.
I imagine that the final, which Spain defeated England, England played beautifully in that final. Probably not such big ratings in Australia, but presumably big ratings in England.
I would imagine so, yes, but who cares? Who cares about that? It was all about the Matildas, of course. And, of course, you went into the semi-final with a bet under your belt. And before we get to this little discussion, of course, we do need to...
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
Sorry, just a mini Cat's betting corner in the intro here.
Your regular reminder that betting is naive and stupid.
It is naive and stupid. Nevertheless.
Nevertheless, I did have a tiny bet. I did bet mostly on Australia. And then I had a tiny hedging my bets where I picked England to win 3-1 at 23-1. So, yeah, I won a little bit of money.
A very specific prediction and it came off well.
It was a tiny bet.
Yes, very good. And, of course... what can we learn about this from a cricket perspective? Because this captured the imagination. The Women's World Cup a couple of years ago, or three years ago now, that was very exciting and captured the imagination of cricket fans, but didn't quite catch on with the casual fan as big as this one. So what can we learn from the Football World Cup that we could bring perhaps to the next Cricket World Cup that's in Australia?
Yeah, well, I think every sporting victory of Australia has to start with people just thinking they're woeful and terrible and complete underdogs right at the start. You know, every pub conversation being this terrible Australian team won't get anywhere. So we're missing that, aren't we, with Australian women.
Australian women are too good. Yeah. And they go into every tournament as massive favourites. So you can't quite get that run of a massive underdog.
Mm.
So, yeah, so perhaps to get the casual fans on board, you know, they need to be less good. Mm. Like that's their problem, right?
And they have started being less good.
They have started. So that's very good planning there from Alyssa Healy and co. So good work only drawing the most recent Ashes. That bodes well for Australia's next World Cup.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, which is a lie, but we have just time to cover the upcoming one-day International World Cup.
Yes, there is so little going on in the world of cricket that we're talking about something that is yet to happen and which may never happen because the BCCI has not done a stellar job in organising this to date, right?
No, that's right. It's upcoming. No one knows when.
No.
I mean, it's going to happen sometime this year though, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, allegedly sometime in October, but you know they keep shifting dates here and there. They shift grounds. Matches are played on one date. Then they say, oh no, that's a highly important religious holiday. We'll move it to a different date at a different ground.
Yeah.
So they keep changing stuff, but it's I actually quite like this from the BCCI. I think it's if teams don't know where or when they're playing, I hope they don't tell anybody. Like they just start the tournament and they you know you've got to be in India somewhere, but you don't know exactly where. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, a morning of a game, you wake up at 8 a.m. or whatever. You get a phone call perhaps, and it's just like, oh, you guys are playing today, and they're like, when, where, and you say, oh well, let's say you're playing in Lucknow, and then you've just got to get the team to the airport and work out.
Do they know what time the game is?
Oh, they'd probably give them a window of time, somewhere between 11 and 2, we'll start. We'll have the coin toss, off. Everybody has to get all their kit together, find a plane, charter a plane, make their way to the ground. I think that would be much more interesting.
You love this element of chaos and jeopardy, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, the problem is that, like, you know, for ages now, we've had all these nerds in the back end of the team. They've, you know, been doing their analysis. They're going, oh, let's get this match up. When this batter comes on, we'll get this bowler. And too many nerds getting involved, making plans for games. If you take the time for planning out of out of commission, then it gets back down to the skill of the players. Get the nerds out of there. Don't want nerds analysing.
So it's
things.
More level playing field. More level playing. You're trying to match up two players that you didn't even know were starting.
Didn't even know. Like so some players may not even make the flight. So it's just whoever gets to the ground in time. I think that's
fantastic.
Much more exciting.
This is a far more fun way for the documentary makers too.
Yes.
to make their documentaries. I mean, it adds that fantastic kind of reality TV show incoming sort of.
It's basically
vibe.
The Amazing Race,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Your challenge is to get to Bangalore by 2 p.m. before the toss is made.
It makes it very important who you're bunking down with too. Mm. You know, you're going to share your room with someone. You want it to be someone who's organised, right on their text messages, up early, you know.
Who knows where their passport is. Imagine some clown has just dumped his bag somewhere. Steve Smith doesn't know where his passport is because it's under 10,000 cricket bats.
That's right.
Yeah, debacle. You don't want to be bunking with him.
So it really does reward those players with those best life skills, you know, not the team that has the best tactics or whatever.
Players. Yeah, so I think this is a much better way of running a tournament. It's good for TV ratings as well.
Mm.
You know, if you're sitting at home and you know when your team's playing, you probably don't tune into all the group stage matches. You just tune into your country's games. But if you don't know when your team's got, you've got to leave the channel just stuck on the channel that's showing the cricket, and you've got to be up ready to watch at any moment. You never know.
You're watching a lot more ads, aren't you, if you're just there stuck watching replays, waiting for a game, you don't know when it's going to start.
So this is why the BCCI have so much money in the vaults. They've got this down to a science. They know how to maximise viewers. They know how to get lots of ad revenue because they know people will be watching because they don't know when the games are going to be on. It's very exciting.
Fantastic. It's also rewarding those players who've really hoarded their frequent flyer points.
Yes.
And all sorts of factors going on here, aren't there?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you've really thought this through, and so has the BCCI.
So congratulations to the BCCI. We are very much looking forward to this tournament whenever it happens to be.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by my newsletter, which is now back in action. I've had a bit of a break after the Ashes and have now resumed writing weekly-ish nonsense.
Have only just caught up on all of the Ashes content, you realise. I don't think anyone noticed that there was a break.
Yeah, probably not. Anyway, the first piece in this post-Ashes universe was everyone always asked the question, you know, of the team in Ocean's 11, the movie, how would they line up if there was an Ocean's 11 cricket match, if they were actually a cricketing 11? So I sorted that question out. I went through all 11 members of Danny Ocean's team in that movie, decided who would be the best batters, who would be the bowlers, who'd open, who'd keep, sorted it all out, made my case for it, and that was the first piece that went out.
And I don't even know who was in Ocean's 11. I recognise none of the characters. I read through it. But this is still a brilliant question, and Dan has done a brilliant answer to it. So get to it.
Yes. And so next week, I think I'm going to be doing the reverse question. I'm going to be saying, which international cricketers would you most like to have on a heist with you? So that will be the next question. I'll go through all the international cricketers.
And now, guaranteed here, I reckon it's Pat Cummins and Virat Kohli in tuxedos.
Yes.
Maybe they're on the anti-heist team, those two.
Maybe. They're the Andy Garcia character. You don't know Ocean's 11, but let's say.
Okay, so I reckon Marnus would be in that too.
Oh, Marnus, yeah.
He'd be driving the getaway. I'm picturing him in janitor overalls.
Yes, I could see Marnus getting involved in that kind of stuff. But so maybe a spoiler for Marnus being part of the team. probably the kind of guy who almost brings the entire scheme undone with some foolish act. But anyway, to find out the rest, you will have to subscribe to the newsletter. That's newsletter.leibcricket.com. It will be delivered straight to your email inbox whenever I write it. That's newsletter.leibcricket.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
ECB marketing droid, and I have created the optimal form of cricket.
What's 10 times 10?
How many balls are there in 16.4 overs?
What's the greatest cricket tournament the world has ever seen?
The 100.
The 100.
The 100.
The 100.
The 100 is Substack meets Masterclass meets The Economist meets The New Yorker.
Is that now officially part of the jingle?
It is officially part of the jingle because I can't be bothered editing it back out.
Okay.
So the 100 is almost done, and it feels like we only just started. I think we only introduced it in our last episode.
Yeah, maybe.
And now in this episode.
It was here for a good time, but not for a long time, right?
Definitely. Well, perhaps not even that much of a good time. But anyway, since we last checked in, though, they got rid of all the rain. If you recall, last time we covered it, more matches than not, I think, had been rained out.
Yep.
But now they got rid of all the rain, so that was good work from England.
So that I understand now that global warming is now a sponsor of the 100
yes.
as a result. So they got rid of all those crisp and chip packets, and now it's global warming all the way. No
yep.
more rain.
Yeah, good work from the 100 to pivot like that, pivot on their feet. So at the time of recording, there's three regular games left, and so the women's finalists have been decided. Right at the top, we've got the Southern Brave, the Welsh Fire, and the Northern Superchargers. They're clear. They're going to be the three teams in the finals. So
are they playing three-team cricket in the finals?
It is a three-team cricket final, yes. Ideal. What a transition that would be. That would get me right into the 100.
That would be a fresh new dimension.
It would, yeah. Get the women and kids interested. Good work, the 100. But yes, so congratulations if you're a fan of either the South, the North, or Wales. So any of those three things, you are in the finals for the women. And of course, an even heartier congratulations to the Birmingham Phoenix, who sit at the bottom of the table.
Oh.
They have 1 point from seven matches, and that 1 point, of course, came from a rained-out match earlier in the season before they got that global warming sponsorship on board. So good work. A bit unlucky they didn't get some more washed out games in there to get to move up the table, but that happens.
Very unlucky. I mean, there was a lot of rain about.
What about for the men?
We have the Oval Invincibles. Now, they have lived up to their name, mm-hmm. and always good to name your team strongly. Yes. Yeah. And they finished comfortably on top of the table. I don't know if they were ever defeated, but we don't have those details. And we also have the Manchester Originals.
Mm.
They're up there too.
Yeah, they're going to come second. I think they're pretty safely locked in at second.
Now, hang on. Isn't the Manchester Originals?
That wasn't their original name.
Right, okay. But isn't it like some kind of, sounds like a post-punk revival band or something?
Yeah,
it
was. Yeah, I think it's, it was part of Blur and Oasis and the Manchester Originals. They all came out in one of those
I think you better festivals. Get a Manchester Originals newsletter article up as well with 11 players and what instruments they play.
Yeah, the Manchester Originals are headlining the next festival of the 100.
Did you know that Manchester does have some good festivals? We did go to one when we were in Manchester.
Yep. Yes. So the Manchester Originals will come second. They're second billing. And the third spot is theoretically open to five teams. So there's only eight teams in the comp. The top two are sorted. And the third spot could be any one of five teams. I think the Northern Superchargers would need some absolutely superb net run rate heroics to steal third spot. But the only team that can't make the finals...
Well, everyone's rooting for them then because they're the underdogs. Yeah, All of Australia is now behind you. You're more popular than the Australian women's soccer team.
Yeah, they've gone crazy for the Northern Superchargers. We all have Northern Superchargers fever down here.
Yeah, got the t-shirts.
Yep. So the only team that can't make the finals, even theoretically, is our last place friends, the Birmingham Phoenix.
Oh, no, is it the same side? Yep. Oh, my God. Yep, Poor old Birmingham. Come on, lift up your cricket.
It's pretty terrible. I mean, you would think if any team was going to rise from the ashes, it would have been the Birmingham Phoenix. But no, they've seen the aftermath of the ashes, thought, we want none of that. We're just going to be a terrible team.
Rightful disdain for the 100.
I think we penciled in Birmingham as our next... country we're going to visit in 2027. Probably a good place to go if you want to see really dreadful cricket. So maybe a good sign because I don't think we've actually seen Australia win an Ashes test in our various visits over the years to England.
So and anyway, Ashes excluded. We are getting on the 100 train just for the finals, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes.
We're going to watch.
We may not watch the final.
I think so.
Unless it's a three-team final.
I thought we were just going to watch two matches for the entire season, the men's and the women's final.
Yes, yes. But we do have some stats, which players have been doing well, mm-hmm. in case you haven't been paying attention like us. So Tammy Beaumont is the leading run scorer for the women.
Oh, of course she is.
Yeah, although she wasn't selected in the women's T20 side for England. So
yeah, right.
Maybe she got really annoyed at not being selected for that and decided because she's the top run scorer. She's also like fourth in the in the strike rates as well. So she's scoring lots of runs at a very quick rate and is still not part of England's T20 side.
Not yet.
Phoebe Litchfield is the best Australian.
Yep.
Somebody named Georgia Adams is the leading women's wicket taker. And Georgia Wareham is the best Australian, which I think means every single wicket taken in the 100 has been taken by somebody named Georgia.
Yeah, let's assume so. Mm. It needs to be.
In the men's comp, Joss Butler, somebody you may have heard of, he's the top run scorer. And the best Australian is the wonderfully named Stevie Eskenazi.
Yeah, I was dubious about this cricketer. I'm pretty sure you just made him up.
No, he's true. He's played the Big Bash. I've seen him. I've made jokes about his name. So
anyway, it's an interesting name. So I looked it up, right? So it's got Jewish origins.
Yes.
So I still thought you might have made him up. So I wondered what the ChatGPT prompt might have been for this cricketer. Well, if ChatGPT was making him up, I thought the prompt might be, give me the name of a cricketer that both Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg would be fighting over to sponsor. But we won't say which bit of the name Musk is interested in. But anyway, so I Googled. I did Google him. And sure enough, he does play for the Perth Scorchers. Yep. Don't say I don't do any research for this podcast. Anyway, no wonder we haven't heard from him on the East Coast. It's a long way away.
Yeah, it's far too far away.
But I did put that same prompt into ChatGPT, right? Because I thought, that's a good prompt. Didn't come up with the name Steve Eskenazi because, of course, he's a real person and ChatGPT is not good with real people.
And especially not Perth Scorchers. It's a long way away from ChatGPT as well.
Anyway, do you want to hear the response? It's pretty good. So I put in the prompt, give me a hypothetical name of a cricketer that both Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg would be fighting over to sponsor.
Yep.
And I got a really good...
Is this a literal fight? You know how they're due to have their cage match fight?
Oh, well, they can have a cage match.
Well, they've been trying to organise one, but they haven't succeeded yet. But I would hope that this fictional cricketer you're about to introduce is the prize.
He's the prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've just invented him. He is now the prize for this cage fight. So ChatGPT hypothetically says this. Hypothetically, a cricketer who both Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg might be interested in sponsoring could be named, wait for it, Rowan? I can't even say it. Rowan Quantum Strike.
Well, we've got the title of the episode.
Rowan. Where did you get Rowan from? Apologies to anyone listening who's called Rowan. Rowan Quantum Strike. I like the fact that this is also, it could be male, could be female, because Rowan is both. Anyway, more explanation of why. The name combines a sense of technological innovation, quantum, and an action-orientated element.
Strike,
yep. That could appeal to both Musk's interest in cutting-edge technology and Zuckerberg's interest in dynamic and engaging content. The futuristic and dynamic connotations of the name might make Rowan Quantum Strike an attractive prospect for sponsorship by these tech-savvy entrepreneurs. Keep in mind that this is a creative hypothetical scenario and not based on any real individuals.
Yes.
No shit.
Yeah. You also have to keep in mind that, of course, if Elon Musk does win the fight, he will change Rowan Quantum Strike's name to X.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
Here we are in the Moeller Award, which is where we reward people, players, things, concepts, boards, anybody who's created nonsense in the world of cricket. It's occasionally excellence, but mostly nonsense. And our first nomination, I think I've got here, is Ben Duckett. Mm. Ben Duckett came out and he was talking about the Ashes still. He's not aware that we've moved on from that and we're onto the 100 now.
He's not playing the 100.
No. So he's still, his brain's still back on the Ashes. And he was talking about the Australian Test side and he gave this quote. He said, on the field, they are not niggly at all. I hope they don't mind me saying this, but they are a bunch of nice guys who are very good at cricket. I don't think I got sledged once in the entire series. So that's I do like, I hope they don't mind me saying this, because he knows what kind of trouble that's going to get them into with, you know, the usual brand of boring dickhead commentators back in Australia.
Yeah.
So he's just dumped them completely in that. But I do like to think that he was being sledged the whole time. I like to think that Cummins has raised the sledging game, and his team.
Yeah.
And now they're doing these highly sophisticated sledges, you know, purpose literary references and all kinds of stuff that just go
cryptic clues.
Yeah, and these sledges are just too complicated. They go completely over Ben Duckett's head.
Of course they do.
Yeah, because not that it's hard for things to go over Ben Duckett's head. That's the kind of sledging that you want Pat Cummins to be doing.
That's right.
Because Ben Duckett is short.
Of course.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Yes. They do explain it to Manus.
They have to explain it to David Warner and Manus Labuschagne. And they say, all right, here's the joke. Ben Duckett is short. We'll do one that goes over his head.
And then
they get it.
Exactly. Actually, I hope, I mean, I presume they were sledging him all the time.
Yeah.
And I hope he just said that to ram at home how lame the sledges were.
Yeah, that is the other
alternative. I feel like that's another good option as well, like Duckett going, you reckon that's a sledge?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, either way, he's definitely got Pat Cummins and team in the firing line from, you know, Michael Clarke and Matthew Hayden and whoever gets annoyed at them next time they happen to lose a match. So, good work, Ben Duckett. Good meta-level sledging, I think.
Yeah.
What's our next nomination?
Well, we're going to nominate Ben Stokes because he has been named, ridiculously, as part of England's one-day International World Cup squad.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come out of retirement for this. I mean, we can't keep track of these retirements as it is. Don't keep coming in and out.
Yeah, you can't keep coming in out. Not even if he did do the LOL tweet, which I think is now tradition if you're an England player. You can't actually come out of retirement unless you tweet or send a text message that says LOL. So he did do that.
No, but that's still good.
I still don't think it's acceptable. It is a tradition, as you say. Yeah. You go into retirement, that you we delete the LOL button off your phone and you've got to stay in there from now on.
But so who misses out when Stokes...
Well, poor old Harry Brook has missed out on the selection because Stokes has come back. That got Tim Payne... I don't know why Tim Payne's getting involved, but he sprung to Harry Brook's defence. He's just like, well, not so much Harry Brook's defence, more an opportunity to get back in into the anger against Ben Stokes. So he's just saying, really rude of Ben Stokes to take a year off and get poor old Harry Brook's hopes up and then come out of retirement and kick him out. He's it's a little bit sad for poor Harry Brook. And Tim Payne's there. He's giving Ben Stokes a piece of his mind.
Yeah.
Perhaps Tim Payne is preparing to lol his way out of retirement as well.
Oh, no. That could be happening.
Yes. I think Harry Brook, might be a little bit annoyed with Ben Stokes. Perhaps just a time. Might give him a little bit of side eye next time they meet in the test team. But the next test isn't till January or something for England. So
clever of Stokes.
Yeah.
To make sure there's this massive gap.
Yeah. Massive gap and probably a massive World Cup trophy that he could just get point at whenever Harry Brook gives him a bit of a glare. He could just say, sorry, Harry, I won the cup. So you can't really complain about me taking your spot.
That's right. We presume that once Stokes is involved, they probably will win it.
Yeah, you would imagine so. But Brook was very diplomatic. He did come out. He made this statement, which I'm going to read in full. Obviously, it's disappointing, but I can't do anything about it now. You've just got to move on. I'm trying not to think about it anymore. I've not had much conversation with Matthew Mott, or Joss Butler. They said with Stokesy coming back, I was probably going to miss out this time. He is one of the best players to ever play cricket, so I can't really complain, can I? And there's one thing I really like about that statement.
Yeah.
Because the statement as I read that didn't have quote marks around Harry Brook's comments.
Right. So we don't actually know who said that statement at the end, right?
Yes. So, and I think the meaning of the statement varies quite a lot depending on where you put the quote mark. So I assume it was meant to read, they said, open quotes, with Stokesy coming back, I was probably going to miss out this time, end quotes. And then he goes on to offer his own opinion that Stokes is one of the best players, so no complaints. But I prefer to read it like, they said, open quotes, with Stokesy coming back, I was probably going to miss out this time. Quote continues, he is one of the best players to ever play cricket, so I can't really complain, can I? Because that gives the connotation that perhaps, the captain and coach rang up Harry Brook and said, Stokes is one of the best players to ever play cricket, so you can't really complain. And I think that's much more entertaining if they took that attitude towards Harry Brook.
Oh, poor Harry Brook. But also, I agree with you, it's much better the second way.
Yeah.
But let's not gloss over the start of this quote either, because he says, I can't do anything about it now. this kind of suggests that, had he known, had he had an inkling, he might have just taken some action earlier. Yep. Like maybe, I don't know, during the Ashes, tripping over Ben Stokes in the showers.
Or inviting him to a game of golf and having him injure himself.
Or provoking him to hit something or whatever.
Yeah, that's so true,
I do like that entire quote from Brooks. He's destined for a communications career.
There is a month or two or three or four until the World Cup begins. Nobody knows when it's actually beginning. So he's still got plenty of time to do something to poor old Ben Stokes. He's probably the first reserve option.
Yeah, I reckon he needs to interrupt the text messages to so that he just doesn't turn up to one of those matches. And Brooks is suddenly there. He's the only one we can play.
Yep.
How did Brooks know what time we were playing and what day and what city and what country?
Yeah. And of course, Stokes, the other reason Stokes was selected has probably got nothing to do with him being whatever he was, one of the best players ever to play the game. As you mentioned before, he's probably got a lot of frequent flyer miles. So.
Yeah, fantastic.
So who wins the Muller Award? We've only got a couple of nominations there. Is it
Harry nominations.
Brook or is it Ben Duckett?
It was almost the longest Muller nomination in history, that one. Does Stokes win or we give it to Brooke because Stokes stole his spot?
Stokes stole
consolation
his spot.
Prize for young Brooke. I have no idea how old he really is, but he looks young.
He looks about
20.
Yeah, he's just a baby. So, we'll give him a Muller Award. I think that's his first Muller Award. So, congratulations to Harry Brooke. And that will wrap us up on this episode of Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. You've been listening to me. I'm Dan Lipke. I'm at Leib Cricket on X. And you have been listening to Kat Jones, who is at Cricket Back Kat on X.
Well, I'm not on. I'm only on Twitter.
Yes.
And all of those other platforms, including Blue Sky now.
We are
both there.
We're both on Blue Sky, so you can come find us there. Same handles everywhere. You can also follow the podcast on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter/X or like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. You could subscribe to my newsletter. That's newsletter.leibcricket.com and you'll get some content in your inbox. And we will see you all next week. Can't bowl, can't
Social Podcast Network.